Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. Have we ever wondered about what is happening in our future in the big picture, where everything is going? And is our Bible actually true that really Christ is coming again? When he comes, what will the world look like? We have a little bit of a few verses here in Isaiah chapter 11. And we have verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now, if you think this is just poetry and the prophet is saying something along those lines, then you are mistaken. We take this literally, that the animal world will change, the serpent and the child at the hole of the asp, the atmosphere of the world, and the putting of Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years that we read about in Revelation 20. These are some of the things that I'd like to say tonight in our message. I'd like you to be awake and realize that we are living at this time, and during this time we say in 2 Peter chapter 3 that all things happen in a regular, predictable way. All the laws of physics, all of the unfolding events in history, there's nothing new under the sun. And it's so easy to say that and think like that. Where is the promise of his coming? He is not coming. You are dreaming. It's in your mind. It's in your Bible. It's a fairy tale. It's not true. You cannot even imagine that there would be a radical transformation, a huge change in the nature of life as we know it. So that is written in 2 Peter chapter 3. But I'd like you to think of a couple of portions of Scripture tonight and to encourage us and stir us in our spirit. Because when we listen to the Word, the Bible, the first coming of Christ predicted and fulfilled incredibly, born in Bethlehem, pierced through his hands and feet, sold for 30 pieces of silver, in Zechariah 11, his garment not parted. They rolled the dice. The women at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross, and the incredible atonement, his blood shed, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and that this happened as the prophet said it would. And then when Christ was here, he said, you are people that can predict the weather by looking at the sky, but you cannot tell the time that you're living in now, for he's saying, I am the Messiah. You know, in John 4, with the woman at the well, she said, we know that the Messiah should come, and she was not even a Jew. She was a Samaritan. And he said to her, the first one, I am he, the Messiah. Amazing. What did God do by giving us the Messiah? Turn to Hosea 2 with me, please. And I'd like you to read this portion. This is so touching. Hosea 2. And on the deck tonight, we could have a wrap. And maybe the visiting pastors could join us, and we can share more about this message or what the Spirit says to you tonight in the message. Chapter 2, verse 19. I will betroth thee unto me forever. It's like a man getting engaged to a woman and taking her under his wing and drawing her to him and giving her engagement. I will betroth thee unto me. God is saying to Israel, I will draw you to me, and I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. This is an important word for us in an evil day when we see so much unrighteousness around us. I think the unrighteousness in the world is working in our favor. There's a famine, a drought. Who is talking about righteousness? What does the word mean? What does it mean to be right, morally right? What does it mean to be righteous, like Christ? Righteous. When you see the righteousness, it draws you to engagement. I want your heart. I'm going to do this to you in righteousness and in judgment at the cross and in loving kindness, that is the word for grace, and in mercies. Verse 20, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. This is at his first coming. This is what happened. Christ, being all of these words, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. 5 words that are important to us in a relationship. 5 words when a man will say to the woman, I am a righteous man. What's the next word? I am a man of judgment. That means I have good judgment about things. It means what's right is important. It means that truth is important to me. I want to be a man of integrity. I want truth. And when God did this to Israel, he's saying, I will not compromise with you. I am a God of righteousness and of judgment, but you can trust me. I got your back. I am for you. I will save you. I will keep you. I will be the kind of husband you're looking for. I'm not a liar. I'm not compromising. I'm not afraid of conflict. I can be engaged and do the right thing. That's what the world is looking for. You see, when Jesus comes, he's in the Gospels like a flaming, like fire. And he's not worried about his reputation or what people are saying or thinking about him. He's a man of integrity. And that is what drew us to Christ. That's what drew the Jewish believers to Christ, was that kind of integrity. Look at the next words. The man could say, I will give mercy, loving kindness. I will give grace. I will understand you. I will lean down and listen to you. I like that idea, like leaning down and like leaning down. There's 2 times when Peter came to the tomb John came to the tomb and says, John leaned down to look inside. And then Peter came running up and he went inside. But John was like leaning down. I like that. Angels lean down, 1 Peter chapter 1, to listen to what we are saying. Human beings, anointed of God, are saying about Christ tonight in our meeting. Angels are, it says, they're leaning down, the same word. For when John leaned down to look in, the angels are leaning into our world to listen to what we have to say. So therefore, we have the awakening of the human beings individually to this kind of integrity and this kind of message and spirit and God's faithfulness. His faithfulness is drawing us to him. That's at the cross. So that's the first part. When Jesus came the first time, what did he do? He brought people to himself, and he does it today. He's doing more and more today. There's more to be done. There are many, many people coming to Christ in these days. We believe it, and we're in the field to labor with that in mind. Because there is a day when we will be raptured. We'll be taken out of the world, and we'll go into that after the offering. So would you pray for the offering with me tonight? Lord, bless the offering tonight in our ministry as a body tonight. Bless the song. Thank you for these, each one assembling. We are coming together in your name. We trust you. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, just for a moment, stand up, look around you, maybe smile and greet some people next to you, and just love up on each other.
Okay, you may be seated. Wow, it was really great that we have called the conference this June. Let's go up onto the house of God. Yeah, let's go to the house of God. That's the name of our conference. And I think we're all ready for that because we're a big family. Just blessed by grace. Amen. Blessed by grace. All right, so the message tonight is very simple. Simply, we are anticipating the fulfillment of Scripture. What God has said is going to happen. In a way, some of it is hard to believe. But if you take the whole record of the Word of God, it is all, every part of it, incredible. That in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Fish, birds, animals, planets, atmosphere, cosmic phenomena. We don't know anything about laws. It's incredible. That we are here is incredible. What is man that you would even be thinking of him? But we are made in his image, loved by him. There are so many incredible things in life by nature, just in nature. These incredible documentaries about planets and birds and all kinds of things that just say, wow, wow. What is that beetle that's the bombing beetle? Bombardier beetle. It's got fire in his belly. The chemical, reaction that spits out fire. Oh my, where'd that come from? God, the world we live in, come on. What is happening? Who are we? What is going on? Come on. 1 Corinthians 15, that which is planted is natural, and the little seed takes on a body that is different from the seed. The seed is a little speck of dirt, and the body is a green bush. Different body. So is the resurrection, that we are sown a natural body, but will be raised a body like unto Christ's body. Will that happen? Is it going to happen? And many other things, like our personal sense of joy and peace, and even our mind being somehow stable, rock solid in truth and worship and that we have found God, and that this new heart and new spirit that has come into us has changed us on the inside. Did that happen? Is that real? Yes, it is. We see in church history incredible works of grace. We see miracles. When I first became a believer, because I was largely an unbeliever, but when I first became a believer, I wanted to read about miracles. And I got a stack of magazines from a Pentecostal church, and they gave them to me, or I stole them. And I just started to read about miracles, and I go, I believe that that could happen, because it's written in the Gospels. Miracles, changed lives, promises, the Spirit anointing us, giving us comfort and peace, and us loving each other. I mean, really loving God, loving ourselves, loving each other, and loving God. This is a family. God's family. Is it real? Where did it come from? How did it happen? Is it really Christ? Is it really Christ? Is Christ alive? Is it Christ in the body? Is it really Christ? Is he real? Is it really true that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said it very clearly, that there would be a day? We don't know when, but let's turn and read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's speaking about the people that have died and gone on before us, and the Christians in this city were concerned about these people that have gone before. Verse 12, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which means they have passed on before us. And many of us in this room know people that have passed on. And what about them? Verse 13, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. When we lose somebody, we have sorrow, but not like others who are not sure about the future. But we have a living hope. We know we're going to see them again, where it's going to be a rendezvous. Yeah, we're going to meet them. We're just as sure as Christ was born in Bethlehem, sold for 30 pieces of silver, died on the cross, and the tomb is empty. All those realities are actually at the basis of our living hope about our future. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God will bring with him. God will bring Jesus. And with Jesus will be these people. These people are alive today. They're in the heavenly Jerusalem. There's a north gate, south, east, west gate. I mean, there's four corner, four walls. There are three and three and three. There are 12 gates. There's an angel at each gate. The gates are named by the 12 sons of Jacob. The foundations of the city are named by the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles is the foundation of the heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, and that's what we think tonight, that Jesus is coming in our lifetime. Yeah, every spirit-filled believer believed that Jesus would come in his lifetime. Why? Because we are told to watch and wait and anticipate that coming. We're told to anticipate the coming in the first century, second century, third century. All those believers, they believed, because the Spirit has given us a hope and an anticipation and an understanding that he can come at any time. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but the Father knows. And there'll be a time when the Father will say, it is time. And the Son of God will come back. We'll read that in a second. Go to verse 15. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Meaning that there won't be any restraint on those bodies that are buried in the graves, that we are alive, and at the coming of Christ, those bodies will be not prevented or hindered from rising, for whatever reason they would think that, but those bodies go first. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They go up, those bodies. Why? Is the body important? Yes, it is. The body is important. We will have this body, glorified form, praise God, in a great form. Pastor Ron and I have talked about it. He has a picture of him when he was 18 years old, and he goes, man, I look so good when I was 18. Man, I hope when I go to heaven, that'll be the age I'll be at. I mean, I'm looking sharp when I was 18. That's the way I wanted to be. Some lady said to the preacher, when I go to heaven, will I recognize my husband? And he said, well, I don't think you'll be any more dumb in heaven than you are on earth. And that was a greater grace pastor that said that. No. Yeah, we will know each other more than ever. We'll have glorified bodies. Now, when will this happen? Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those that have, whose bodies, they are in heaven, they are absent from the body. That's a key verse. Absent from the body, and then does your spirit drift around and roam around on the planet Earth? What does it say? Absent from the body, and then what does it say? Present with the Lord. We go to be with the Lord. The angels take us away in Luke 16. That poor man died, Lazarus, and the angels took him to Abraham's bosom. There's no vacuity, no sleeping in the grave. There's no floating around in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, where all the dead bodies in the Gettysburg battle died and the spirits were released. Maybe that's demons, but it's not the spirits of dead men. That's demons. That's why seances are demonic and deceitful and trickery from the devil. No. A human being goes to hell or they go to be with the Lord. And we are those by his grace. We were called, we were drawn by some reason of grace and by our faith and our choice. Our choice is part of it. Our believing, it's our choice. We can talk about that sometime in the future, but we decide. Whoever believes, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Revelation 22. It's our choosing. Now, being saved, you have this assurance, verse 17, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I've read in Kenneth Weiss, this word air has two in the words in the Greek. One is the air lower than the mountains. and then the air above, the stratosphere, the higher air. So when we meet the Lord, which air do we meet him in? We meet him in the lower level. He comes closer to the earth, and we meet him there. Well, how will that work? Our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in 1 Corinthians 15. We will disappear. We'll disappear. The bodies will be gone, and we will go up. Where they go first, we come with them, and we meet Jesus Christ in the air as he comes as a thief. What's the idea of a thief? You can't see him. It's a robber. You see a robber. He's got a gun in front of you. You see a robber, but a thief steals your bicycle off your back porch in the middle of the night, and you never see him. Christ comes like this way. He comes to take us. He comes to take his bride. He comes to get us. It is a big deal. It is a big deal in heaven. Do you know that in heaven they are anticipating this? Because it's like the next phase. They want it. They want, oh God, how long? Oh God, how long? You know, that idea that they're on the edge. They're wanting righteousness to come to the earth because they are saturated with righteousness in heaven. They're saturated with the loving kindness, the mercy, the faithfulness of God. They've been betrothed to God, like engaged by these great five words that we mentioned. That these are big words. They love it. They love God. They are in heaven in the love and the righteousness of God. And they say, like we say in our prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, right? On earth. I want it here. I want it here. I'm sick and tired of the filth and evil and wickedness and pride and arrogance that is in this world and in me. I'm tired of it. I want it to be gone. But we got it. We got a good message. We are free from it. We have tasted the kingdom. We can feel it in the spirit. We can taste it. We love it. We agree with heaven. We're like saying to the folks up in heaven, amen, amen, we're with you. We're in the same body. We have the same Christ, same spirit, same mind, same anticipation. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Right? But what have you ever felt or sensed that you could also sleep? Huh? Hello? No. Hey, wait a minute. Have you ever felt that you could be so distracted? Yeah, have you ever felt that you could like sleep and just go same old, and go through the motions of life? Of course, but this is why this is written, to tell us something. If this God in our spirit, our blood, so to speak, we got this kind of realized it. If we realize that this is actually reality. This is actually where things are going. This is going to happen one day. That if we kind of went to bed thinking and anticipating that, no. I've watched the news and it makes me so sick. No, I've seen the corruption. I see the money. I see the weirdness, the perversion. I see the deceit, the trickery, the treachery. And I'm getting old. I'm just an old, cranky, old, bitter man that's fed up with the whole thing. I never was like that before. But now it's like, but that's a good thing because even though I believe that is a lot of what is happening, I also believe there is an amazing work of grace that is happening in hearts. There's a Matthew that follows Jesus. There's a Peter that is restored. There's a John with his head on the bosom of Christ. Is it I? Who is it, Lord? There's a work of grace like in the book of Acts. There's a a spirit of encouragement and revival and truth and wisdom and an opportunity for us to be like lions in a world where there's a lot of hyenas. Somebody said that recently. There's an opportunity to have conviction and stand and disagree and say, no, I don't believe that. Well, all the world, everybody is saying this. I don't care what they're all saying. I have something going on in my heart. I'm growing in an understanding of the way Jesus is thinking. I want to follow Jesus. I want to believe in Jesus. I want Jesus' word in my spirit, in my heart. I want to believe in God. I want to believe that Jesus is coming back one day. And you may laugh at it, but to me it's very sacred and very real. Because if he came the first time, you can be sure he's coming the second time. He really is. And you know, it's going to happen this way. We will disappear. Look at what it says. Comfort. It says, we will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. What does that mean? We will ever be with the Lord. You know, the Lord has a spirit of fire. I want to be with that. The Lord has the kindness. He has the patience. I want to be with that. He could be quiet and loving and deep. And there's a voice like many waters. I was thinking of Niagara Falls. Actually, I was thinking of turning the bathtub on like fat, loud, and have, and then you know, audioing it, recording the bathtub running, you know. And this is a voice of many waters in heaven. And they're going to be saying something about the Christ that's in heaven. And when Babylon falls, hallelujah, when Babylon falls, the church will be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, Babylon is fallen. Do you know what that means? You're learning it. Ha, ha, ha. It's over. It's over. The devil is put with a chain in the bottomless pit. The lion and the wolf and the rabbit, or the child and the snake, and there's peace on earth, and animals are, and who knows, and all of these things, they're in the scripture. We do know some, but a change. I've always wondered if animals were intended to speak. Like in the Garden of Eden, it says that the serpent spoke to Eve. We read that Balaam's ass spoke, and that was the only good thing he said. And I was wondering, and I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm just provoking your imagination. I am saying the world that we know is this way. And anybody that would believe in a very big transformation is believing in a fairy tale. But no, we're not. We're just thinking that, yes, hey, we're made for righteousness and we're looking for it. And we cannot find it in this world without Jesus Christ. And he's coming. And it says here, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Is it comforting to know that we will one day disappear off the earth and be with Jesus? Well, when you got a big BG&E bill, it is. Is it comforting to hear that? If you've got a cancer, or a broken heart, broken family, broken life, addictions, problems, troubles, depression, fears, and you hear that that could happen one day, yes, it is comforting. And where can I get this comfort? Is it from making it up, dreaming in la-la land? No, this is not la-la land. This is the Word that created heaven and earth and holds it together. This is the word that said he's coming and he's coming again. This is the word that says you're free from your sin through the cross and that the tomb is empty, and our tomb also will one day be empty. Won't that be amazing? It'll be empty if we go that way. If we don't, we're gone. And there'll be some clothing on the sidewalk maybe, and prosthetics and implants and other things. It'll be just scattered on the sidewalks, you know, and car keys and everything. Yeah. Will there be any car keys in heaven? Will there be any medications in heaven? Will there be any bandages or duct tape in heaven? Will there be any, you know, what will there be? There will be a glorified state. And listen, he's coming. After that happens, 7 years of hell is on the earth. And, oh, can you see it happening? Globalism, world power, global warming, big government, bureaucracy, one world currency, Bitcoin or whatever. Can you see it all happening? Global identification, an ID card, all of it happening with the control of a world leader that is called in the scripture the Antichrist. Can you see it happening? That same God that wrote that in the Bible is the same God that said, we will go up and they will go up first and we will meet Christ in the air. That said. But wait a minute, it gets better. We got to finish up and I go to 2 Thessalonians 2. It says that when he comes, he's talking to them in the 2 Thessalonians on the same subject of the second coming. And he said, verse 3, chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means. And I believe we are in a time of amazing deception, great lies that are being said, the great mouth of the Antichrist of Revelation 13 in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. He has a big mouth, meaning propaganda, a lot of influence, but don't let any man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. There'll be a falling away from the faith. There'll be less and less. They say 41% of millennials say, there is no God, or I don't care about God, I don't need God. It's some kind of a poll. I can see it. But there's a remnant in every generation. There are people that are seeking, people that are called, people that are looking for something like what we are saying and what we are believing. What the Spirit is doing in drawing people to Christ, that Christ is the answer. And anybody drawn to him, they could see it and believe in it. But then it says here, there'll be an amazing deception. And it's verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself, this is the Son of Man, above all that is called God. He is such an enemy of God. He doesn't care about God, doesn't talk about God. He is mocking people that believe in God. This is in our spirit, in our country. It's a spirit in our government. They oppose and exalt themselves against God. They are opposed to God. They are enemies of God. They don't care about God. So I'm just saying that. I think it's clear. It's something to think about. And you can take what I'm saying and digest it. But I believe it within my heart, in spirit. Verse 4. Or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, this will be in the tribulation period, I told you these things. He said, I told you when I was with you in person at our seminar that we had there in Thessalonica. I told you about these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, and it's working today. It's a mystery of iniquity. Only he who now lets will let. Meaning we are preventing, the Spirit and the church is preventing the full manifestation of the mystery of iniquity. And then we will be taken out of the way in verse 7. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. This is when he returns. He will have a sword coming out of his mouth. Surely that is not literal, but it is in the meaning. The sword, of course, what does it mean? Whether it's literal or not is not my point. The point is the authority. And there's no discussion. There's nothing except a judgment that comes on him. And he will be thrown into the lake of fire. The devil will be thrown into the bottomless pit. And he will put things in order and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I just want to finish my message with this thought tonight. These verses are absolutely incredible. And allow yourself to meditate on them and imagine it. God, when are you going to deal with it? When are you going to deal with it? God, come on, bring it, come, and bring it. We could say that normally, what do you mean? There'll be like what? Oh no, this will be something you could never even imagine how it will be dealt with, how it'll be over, how the lives are over, how the whole thing changes, how the spirits are gone. How the devil is in the bottomless pit. How the world changes. You cannot imagine, but it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. Thank you, Lord. Come and do it. We want it. Yes, the teenagers want to graduate on Saturday. Yes, somebody wants to get married or have a child or something. Yes, we understand that life is great. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I believe in it, and we live a great life. So that's true. That's true. We know that. But if that is all I have in my life, there's something missing. If all I have are the hopes of this world, there's something missing. There's called the blessed hope. That whole thing behind that greatest tragedy that we could ever experience is where when we have this living hope, we have comfort. We have a living hope that is a comfort to us and an anticipation of a coming kingdom. And get it in your heart and imagination and think about it. He's coming in the clouds of the heavens. He's coming from the right hand of his Father. He's coming with all authority in heaven and earth. And he's going to put away evil and every lie and everything that is hateful to God. And it's going to be dealt with. And so that's the message tonight. Amen. Yeah, Lord, we came on a Wednesday night to hear the word of God. And every time, with every pastor in our country ministering your word, every teacher in Sunday school, every worker, everybody on the social media platforms, YouTube videos, by all means to preach the word of God and make it clear for a harvest in these times. It's not over yet, but we anticipate it. And help us be fruitful, be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in your work. Comfort us. Teach us, lead us, help us. We would watch and wait and anticipate your coming. Someone here tonight, maybe you're looking for Jesus. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart and saying, open your heart to me. I betroth you unto myself in righteousness and judgment and loving kindness and mercies and faithfulness. Come to me as you are. Trust me. I save you tonight. Tonight, I save you. And I give you this gift of righteousness. Anyone saying that prayer, just raise your hand. Anyone at all? Yes to Jesus. Anybody? Yes to Jesus. Anybody? Yes to Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.